Welcome to a new episode of the Smack Hospitality Podcast. My name is Florian Montag, and today I'm joined by Maria Zaralucki, Global Development VP at Melia Hotels. We dive into her journey from legal to leading global expansion, what it's like working for a publicly traded yet family-run company like Melia, and the importance of empowering women in hospitality. Enjoy the show. Maria, welcome so much to the Smack Hospitality Podcast. It's great having you here on the sidelines of IHF and welcoming you to a little intime conversation about your role at Melia. You just mentioned you flew in. You're based in Mallorca. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. I'm living in Mallorca.
And whereabouts is Melia's headquarters? Is that also there or?
Yes, our founding family is from Mallorca. We started the operation of the company 68 years ago, and the founding is from Mallorca. So I'm one of these lucky people that lives there because of working and because of life.
Yeah, the island life. A lot of Germans love traveling to Mallorca. But you're a person of tradition. We just met a couple minutes ago. But looking at your background and your history, family-owned business, Melia, and yourself having joined Melia a couple of years ago.
A lot.
So 1999, is that
it's
right?
Correct,
can you tell us a bit more about, you know, why did you choose hospitality at the time and started with working for Melia?
To be honest with you, at the beginning was not kind of a thinking choice. I'm a lawyer by profession, so I started my career in London in a law firm. Then I went to Mallorca. I'm from there. So I was in the middle of jobs. I was supposed to be going to Madrid for my next adventure. But, because of contacts, they asked me or they told me there was an opportunity in Melia for just a couple of months. And I thought it was very convenient. So I started there in the law firm, in the law department. And from there now has been 25 years. So I enjoyed very much to be there.
And so in the law department, what is the law department for a hotel doing? Like what was your initial task?
Well, it's a very important department because at the end of the day, we are a public company in addition to being a family company, but we are public. So everything related to risk, control, programming, and everything has to be very well organized and followed. So the legal department is because of that. And in that moment, I was very much in the process of certain M&A transactions we did, like the acquisition of the Trip brand, certain joint ventures. So I was very much into the strategic development of the company somehow in the legal part as a support, I would say, to the business part. And I really enjoy that. And in a certain moment of time, which was the former like chief development officer at that time, which was Cisco Alberti, he told me, haven't you think to change hats? And it was not like I never thought about this. And I did it, and certainly it was a good choice.
Yeah, because today you're global development VP at Melia. And so how was it that transition going from more legal into development? Were there a lot of similarities in at the end of the day, looking at a lot of contracts and negotiations? What was kind of your why did you take that decision to go into development? And what were kind of your initial learnings in changing the role?
Lisa, the beginning was kind of a shocking petition because I was not thinking about that. My real ambition maybe was to progress within the legal path inside Melia, obviously at that moment was a choice. But I was asked to consider that option. And initially for me, it was like, I'm not sure because I like what I do. I have been working for that. So why should I change? But it was quite interesting because all the people were surrounding me, like my colleagues, my family, my husband, my parents, all of that told me, listen, it's super obvious that you are more on the business side than on the legal side. So I took the bet and I went into development. At the beginning, for me, was like kind of easygoing because it was what I was used to do. What is the negotiation part, the contract side, all the agreements, like different structures. It was something like, it was familiar for me, but I was not that familiar with the business side because I didn't work in a business side. So for the first year I was in development, and after that I did an MBA in Instituto de Empresa in Madrid, an executive one, and it was super good for me. It was after a year joining the department, and after 3 years being in the department, I passed to lead the development department by the company worldwide.
And it's a worldwide company, right? As you said, publicly listed as well. Still Mallorca-based, the family who started it based in Mallorca, yourself also so being there. How is it to work in the company as Melia, which is on the one side, on the global stage, looking at shareholders and the public, at the same time having kind of the Spanish roots and tradition? Do you see any kind of important elements still being focused by the family and traditions which make Melia special?
Yes, very much. I always say that we are a family-owned company that is trading as a public. So the culture and the values of the family, the founding family, is still very much into the company. In fact, second generation with our actual chairman and CEO still is there. It's Gabriel Escarrer, who is the younger son of the founder. So at the end of the day, all the roots of the founding family is there, which I think is very important. Because at least for me, their values are very much aligned of what I think should be the treatment with people, with environments, with the different societies we go. Because hospitality, as you said, is global. So we have a lot of influence on where we are going and how we behave to create a good life for the people that work with us. So I think this is an important thing. The Spanish roots as well is a way of doing things. I think in Spain we have been knowing how to treat holidays, for example, leisure, for more than 60 years. So it's something that we do for living because we feel it's the way we like to live. So we transmit that in our hotels, and everything is embraced by this sustainable kind of approach in our way of doing things and delivering hospitality by itself.
I love that you say the Spanish no leisure and make it special. What would be certain traits you would say are really like kind of like typical Spanish, or would differentiate your portfolio or your service compared to other leisure brands, which are maybe not Spanish? What is that kind of Spanish touch which if somebody goes to one of your properties identifies?
I think that at the end of the day, what we can bring as a difference is that in every place we go, we are local. We don't think that from Palma de Mallorca, Spain, we have to teach how to do leisure or hospitality. So every single location has its peculiarities, and we adapt to the society and the places where we develop our hotels. But at the same time, we bring the roots from the Spanish way of delivering holidays, because in Spain, we started the leisure development long time ago. I think we were one of the pioneers in Europe, at least. And we know how people feels well when they go out. Let's put it that way. In Melia, what we have been knowing to do for a lot of years is to delivering experiences to our clients. And we deliver that during the moments they are on holiday, but at the same time when they go into business with this kind of leisure approach that nowadays everyone talks about. So I think there is a way to do things, but at the same time, we are very humble. We don't think that we have to teach a Spanish culture anywhere. We just have our culture, and then we adapt to the different cultures that we go to work with.
In the many years you've been there, especially from a development side, you've been part of and also leading a rapid expansion. You know, signed over 100 deals. Is that the secret sauce behind it, of always being local and being humble? Or what's your secret sauce of having grown so significantly over the years but keeping your DNA as a company?
I think at the end, what we need, what is needed, is to have a clear strategy. First of all, is to know who you are and what you can deliver to the public to be different. And in Meliá, we had this conversation a long time ago, and we decided that our roots and the way we deliver leisure, it was our point of difference when going to a market. So we straightforward said, listen, the value and the good proposal of value of Meliá is leisure. So let's build on that. So we decided the places of the world where leisure is a hint where we could make a difference. So in every place where we want to go and have achieved to go, we always go with a kind of partnership approach. One of the big differences of Meliá is that we are kind of a mix of a company. We have a clear asset-light strategy, but we are sitting or more than 5,000 million in asset valuation owned by the company, which means that we have this double hat that understand perfectly an owner and what they want to do when they invest into a hotel. And with that, we act in a partnership way. We certainly think that we have to go in long-term relationships and not short development for the sake of doing development. So I think this is the trick. And another thing is that for us, every hotel is different. We are kind of flexible. We have obviously our roots, our brand standards, everything very well structured. But at the same time, we can bring a little bit of a specialization in every hotel because we are big enough, because we have more than 400 hotels, but we are small enough because we are not a monster. So we can really be close to every single asset and trying to deliver value to different hotels where we go.
Wonderful. I come myself much more. We work with a lot of clients in a lot in the city hotels, business hotels, a lot of kind of standardization, digitization. And they are, of course, looking at kind of costs, operational, margins as well. But what's the key of success for a leisure hotel? And looking at when you look at scoping new properties and new destinations, what are you looking for? Because, of course, leisure is much more about services around. It's about experiences. How do you, when you look at new properties or something, like when do you say this is a Meliá property or when do you know that this will be a success?
Well, I think the first one that is a very easy one is location is a must. Even though you are very good in what you do, if you don't have the good location, you will not do it right.
So how do you define location, like airports or
For us, first of all, is to identify in each brand what is the perfect location for that brand. For example, we have just launched the newest brand that we have launched is the Zelle brand. It's a joint venture with Rafa Nadal. And it's a brand in the lifestyle spectrum in the upper upscale, but in the high end. And it's a brand that is very Mediterranean style, and it's very active. So for that brand, if we go to a leisure destination, it has to be in a front row, meaning like in a sea location that you can do activities surrounding it. It has to be an open space. So we have to find the place where we can do this kind of stuff. And if we go to a city hotel, it's kind of the same, but in a city location that you can bring this leisure aspect. People that not just want to go for business into a place, but as well to experience the city. So activities, services, experiences around the hotel is very important. So I think it's a mix of everything. It's a mix of location. It's a mix of a good partnership because I strongly not believe about not having a win-win situation when you sign a deal for development. If one wins more than the other, it's not sustainable in time. So we always try to be fair with all the partners we sign. And we try to adjust quite well to the different locations where we are. So to bring this kind of experience into the location as well.
There's a lot of new trends coming to market. We're at IHF. It's all about, listening and speaking about new trends. And you mentioned leisure already quite a few times, which has been definitely a trend over the last, I remember 10, 15 years ago in hotel school, it was already talked about. I think COVID has brought it to the next level. Mm-hmm. From your perspective, from a kind of more the lifestyle leisure viewpoint, what's your kind of hot trends at the moment which you are focusing on the most or which you find the most exciting for Melia?
I think that for us, the most important and the present moment is to deliver special experiences to our clients. It means, it looks very broad because this can bring everything there. But at the end of the day is to know your client. How do you know your client? Two ways. Digitalization is super important. So you have to be kind of the boss of the circle of the relationship with a partner, with a client. Experience with the service that on the people you have on board on, in the hotel, knowing the client. And with that, you can be a little bit on trend of what you think the client wants and may want in the future. With that, for us, trends go very fast, but we have identified in every brand what we should deliver as a differentiation. For example, if we go to a city hotel, because you were talking about leisure, for us, it's very clear that in cities like Madrid or Barcelona, just to give you an example, because I come from Spain, like having a rooftop with some kind of water, swimming pool or a plunge is a differentiation because people that come to Spain, when they go to a sunny place, even if it's a city, they want to have this experience of being outside in a kind of relaxing way. So this is something that we are implementing in a lot of hotels. Food and beverage, super top. It's something really, really important. So we have a dual strategy there. We have our own assets with our own food and beverage, and we have a strong partners in food and beverage, depending on the brand, depending on the location, we choose one or the other, just to deliver an extra experience to the client. And at the same time, the experiences you offer the hotel, not just inside the hotel, but outside, like knowing secret tricks, even if it's a leisure destination or a business destination. For example, now I'm going to Mexico this Easter with my family. And in the brand Paradisus, which is an all-inclusive, we have changed the brand to a destination inclusive. So together with the package, you have certain excursions included in the package that you pay that are quite different and outside of the hotel. For example, one of them is to go to a cenote, you know, this big plunge that you have natural ones in the middle of the nature, to have a yoga experience and to swim there in the afternoon or something like that. So the clients perceive that they are doing things special within the location. This is one of many that we're offering. But it's important to know your client, to be ahead of the trends.
So it's really about, as you said, leveraging technology, digitalization to understand your customers, create kind of that hyper-personalization or at least personalization 100%. At the moment. But then it's all about the physical experiences which make the real difference at the end of the day.
I think so. It's true that now you're hearing a lot about the 3D glasses going traveling to Maldives. But to be honest with you, I'm a little bit skeptical about that. Maybe it's the future.
But it's maybe checking out the location itself and being like, wow, I really want to go there.
Yes, but after you have to experience it. So I think the good things about hotels is about human beings and experiencing a place. Just to do it from your room, I don't think so.
As kids, you know, room service once, but...
just once, but after you want to experience.
No, for sure. I can totally imagine that. And I think as well, I can also understand why working for a brand like Melia over the years, it brings a lot of perks for the family as well, right?
So being
able to travel and to one of your locations. But you've been on the rise in the company over, you know, since 99, now being global VP. And how has it been for you to grow that, step up in the ladder and, you know, handling family and job and going always, you know, the next step in the same company? Was it always kind of the clear next step, or were there also challenges and was it a tough journey?
Well, I think that every evolution in, if you are a person that has a vision and an ambition as well, obviously everything has its efforts. But I think that what is very important, first of all, is that you feel aligned with the culture and the values of the place where you are. So you feel like for at least for me, that you feel like you are in a family. So you feel correct, that you are in the right place, and you enjoy having a place there. So I have done a lot of things in my life, but very important, organization. If you have a family and you want to step the ladder, as you said, you need to organize yourself quite well. You have to have quality time at home and a job, which is really important. Secondly, is to be prepared. I think it's important to keep learning all the time from yourself, from other people, from your colleagues, from people in the market. I'm one of the lucky people because I do live of what I love, which is traveling, knowing different cultures and negotiating. But listen, in every single place, there are things to learn. So I think it's important to be prepared for the next step and push and to be brave, because a lot of people is scared to just raise the voice. And I have never been scared to raise the voice. So listen, it's a way of saying things, but in the right way.
If at the time you would have not spent that summer back at home or that job back in Mallorca, where would you be in your career today if you're not in hospitality?
I have thought a lot about this because I never thought to finish my life or to be in a hospitality as it is. When I started my career, my idea was to be in a law firm, to work in the city in London, which I did. I wanted to live in Madrid, in New York. I was super international. But listen, life brings you sometimes to certain places that you never thought of. And now I have to say that I'm in a place I love. There are a lot of type of business that I'm attracted to. Obviously, I'm attracted to fashion. I am attracted to retail. I think there are a lot of things very interesting in the market. But I would always, I think I what one of the things I like the most, or I would like the most, is to be in a job where I interact with people. This commercial aspect of talking to people, negotiating and learning, I think is the most enriching part.
Besides your success at Melia and you know, building your career and growing there, you've also been engaging and starting initiatives, not just for yourself and for the company, but you co-founded Women in Hospitality. Could you maybe have a quick 30-second elevator pitch of what is Women in Hospitality and why did you co-found that?
Listen, at the beginning, I started with a group of women that we knew each other for business during COVID. So it was some of us that started to have conversations over Teams just to grab what it was going on in the market, because it was quite dramatic. Because I remember that I was in Dubai in February, and in March I was in my home without anything to do more than being blocked there, you know. So it was kind of tough. So we started to have conversations every Friday. I remember it was every Friday, just to catch up, to know what it was going on in every company, different advantages, thinking of how was the future for all of us, just grabbing a glass of wine, to be honest. And then when this dramatic situation, it was so enrichment what we were having or together that we decided to formalize it. So it was a group of us, I think it was 8 or 10, that we created Women in Hospitality. At the beginning, it was a place to feel safe for talking, learning from other women, to do a little bit of networking in a different atmosphere, because I have to say hospitality is still very men-driven. So it was kind of another atmosphere. So we started that way, and then we realized that it was a huge attraction for what we were doing. So we opened a little bit the hand and we invited other women to join. The joining was super fast. We wanted to be 50 and we conquered 50 just in a couple of days. And now we have gone from there to women like a friendship kind of a sponsorship as well. So we do a lot of stuff. We put the women vision in different forums, in different conversations. We try to bring different matters into the market for creating certain knowledge about our expertise. We are doing mentoring as well to the kind of more younger woman, maybe, and some pushes. But for me, the best is I'm knowing and getting to know such amazing women in this world that of hospitality, that for me is super enrichment.
So for all the women who are listening to the podcast, we have a lot of kind of striving leaders and also people who in hotel schools and in later stages in the job. For whom is it, women in hospitality? Who are you targeting, especially with your mentor programs and ability? Is it for more senior women? Is it also just kind of curious people?
It has to have certain touch with hospitality. Yeah. But that does not mean that you have to be in hospitality. For example, we have architects, we have lawyers, we have designers, we have hoteliers, consultants. So we have a little bit of everything, and we try to be very diverse. So we create this knowledge between all of us. And it's addressed to women that wants to know other women in this world, which is hospitality, to help each other, to learn from each other, to have good conversations, to do some good exposures to the market. So I would say that it's open to everyone. It's true that we do kind of analysis of each member that gets in, and we have to vote. But listen, it's a very frank and open. I don't think we have said no to anyone. But the pity is that we had more requests of space, because we didn't want to go massive neither, because we want this to be at least for the moment a little bit boutique-ish, so to have the option to know the women that are in the association.
A lot of women, or in general, it's still struggle, you know, to get the right visibility or exposure, especially in terms of leadership and, you know, getting to that stage of leadership. What would be your advice to them, or how to maybe be able to jump that next step in the ladder, as from your personal experience, but also maybe from other experiences people shared with you in the association?
I think that, first of all, is believe in you, because one challenge for women sometimes is to believe that we're good enough. And I think that this is something may sound weird, but it's a reality.
Yeah, it's the classic man kind
of. Oh, yes. For example,
we don't fit to the job request. We just apply. But
it's amazing. So every time I get a CV from a lady for a position in my team, it's like filling all the tags. For men, maybe 20%, 30%. And they say, I don't get it. So first of all, it's belief in you. Secondly, as I said, raise your voice, speak loud, make your knowledge and your capabilities perceivable, that people can see what you're doing. Be prepared, because life is not easy. And I don't think that to do a discrimination for gender in the positive or negative way is good, because I don't want to be in a place because I'm a female. I want to be there because I'm good. So at the end of the day, I think it's important to be prepared to fight for that. And listen, one thing that it can be very important as well is to find the sponsors, even between women. One of the things that I didn't mention before, which I joined Mujeres in Hospitality for, is because I did not have reference in women when I was rising the ladder, because it was not that many in my company or around me. So now I would love to help others to see me and say, listen, it's possible. So maybe I can do a little bit like her, or even better.
Do you think things have changed over the years already having kind of people to look up for? I think is always first great sign. But do you think, you know, has there been significant evolutions in the market, in the industry, making it easier for women to rise the ladder? Or is it still, you know, yes, possible, but
I think difficult? That, to be honest, I think that certainly has been positive changes. The first positive change is that people talk about this. Mm-hmm. Because before it was kind of weird to talk about this kind of stuff, and you can be a feminist. And it was a very bad word. Nowadays, it's a common word, and people say that in the good way. No, so I think, yes, there are changes. I think education is important. I think nowadays the new generations raise in a way that women and men are the same. So they have this share responsibilities in everything. And at the same time, in relation to families as well, the help to the family for raising the kids together is a change as well. Because before, one of the partners have to be at home, and normally it was the woman. So I think, yes, there are changes, but it's still a lot to go.
Yeah, and I think it's still also a lot of change differences in different cultures and different regions, right? With with what the government or just in general is able to offer.
There is a big sensibility nowadays. I think it's good to talk about feminism in the right way, in the positive way, because at the end of the day, 50% of the population are female. So how are you going to sell hospitality if you don't know 50% of your clients? It's ridiculous. Yeah,
and I think feminism is not just about the women, right? It's about just equality, and it's about
everyone.
Us men as women.
Exactly.
Together. Looking at Melia, is there anything specific where you say, you already said you're not kind of a big fan of having quotas or things like that, maybe, which prioritize something, but at the same time, this is often something very helpful to just bring that shift and put the things into the right direction. Has there been any kind of activities over the last years or something which you say the company is doing to support, not prioritize, but to support the equality of women in leadership or in their growth?
Yeah, we haven't worked in this quota aspect because I think it's, well, as I said, that's a very personal opinion. I think it may be good to push, but not just for the long shot. It's like in the short term. But yes, we have include sponsorship programs. There is a lot of vision nowadays, for example, in our company for female colleagues in the luxury segment because of the touches of the female aspect, it's very well perceived. For example, the brand Grand Melia or others that we have been pushing a lot. So little by little in my company, you start to see incredible women taking leaderships. And I think this is a show that is that the family and the company has a bet for the equalization within the group.
Looking back at women in hospitality and the development you've had there and built up, what is there like a single proudest moment where you say, I look back at that and that's just like my wow, that's why we started this, or that's how amazing that this happened?
For me, first of all, I love to see my team. I think I have an incredible, high-perceiving team, very professional. And when I see them and I see they progress and they do things in an incredible way, I think, wow, I'm proud. I'm proud that I was a little bit part of this, Secondly, obviously, for me, it's very easy. Every time I go to a new hotel, I go to a hotel I signed or my team signed. For me, it's like, now I see it. It's real. I was two weeks ago, I was in the inauguration of the new Insight in Valdebebas in Madrid, in the airport. And it's a hotel we signed a couple of years ago, and I didn't visit since then. So when I went there, I was shocked. I was like, yeah, and now I remember when we negotiated this MICE aspect and why this was for, So these two things, I think, are the things I'm proud the most.
Wonderful. Before we wrap up and thank you so much for your insights, we have a round of fire questions, rapid fire fun questions.
Okay.
To get some personal information as well. I'll just start and you just answer in a one sentence or shorter. Also okay if longer. Let's start off with a hotel you visited that completely blew your mind.
Oh, There are several that I have visited that blew my mind. But listen, for example, with I have to talk about Melia a little bit.
Of course.
Because if not, it will be a little bit peculiar. But for example, the Mi Dubai, first time I went there, is a hotel from Zaha Hadid, and it has a very peculiar shape. It was kind of shocking for me to be in a hotel like that, that is operated by Melia. And it was a very interesting one. And I have been all around the world in different places that shocked my mind. I can tell you hundreds, but I think this one could be my first one.
I'm sure you're traveling all the time and everywhere, but is there still one travel destination that's still on your bucket list, or have you done them all?
No, I have been. The other day I was counting. I have been in 77 countries in the world, which is not bad, but it's still not in Japan.
Even though it's such a trendy country at the moment.
I'm going to go. I do have my plans already. We're going Easter next year. Yes, it's in my plans. I'm already organizing it.
What's the factor which influences you the most to wanting to go to Japan?
Oh, because everything. Because the cultural aspect, the food, the digitalization, the modernity, everything. I think in Japan you can find everything. And as well, it's a trend nowadays. So I want to see what's going on there.
Yeah. For me, it's the skiing. I've never skied in Japan.
In Japan.
And there, apparently, the snow must be completely out of this world because
exactly.
of the sea and the mountains. I think I know the answer to this one, but morning coffee or evening wine?
Evening wine.
Definitely. I mean, you know, you created, as you just said, a woman in hospitality on kind of a glass of wine. So definitely brings a lot of great ideas. If you could have dinner with any hospitality legend, past or present, who would it be? And it can't be from the Melia family.
I think Philippe Bazin from Accor. I think he's a reference in the industry, and it will be very interesting for me to do that.
Last question. Describe your perfect hotel stay in just 3 words.
Comfortable. Warm and social.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Maria, for your time, for your insights, your impact as well, driving great initiatives in the industry. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It has been a pleasure.
That's it for this episode, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to share your thoughts on this episode and everything else that is going on at Smack with us by checking out our website at smack.media or connect with us on LinkedIn, YouTube, or Instagram. We'll see you next time.